Yeah, guys, welcome. We're Femi and the Gang on 99.3 Nigeria Info FM in the words of DJ Spin All. And, well, we're here to spin all as we go around territories where football gave us four and throughout the course off the weekend. And we're not done with that, really, because Flying Eagles are also competing in the Africa Under 20 Cup of Nations in their semi-final fixture. We'll bring you up to speed with the outcome of that game. We'll also look back at the results from the big leagues on the European continent involving Arsenal's amazing, including, I should say, Arsenal's amazing comeback against AFC Bournemouth and Manchester United's capitulation against Liverpool. Victor Osimhen's lack of a goal, which is something we are not used to because of his consistency in the last set of weeks. And also in Formula One, where there's Max Verstappen, who's in to continue from where he stopped last season as we had the first race of 2023. Tennis, too, had so much to offer us during the course of the weekend. We have details of these and more to excite you on Game On. Come on, let's have fun together.
Hi guys, I'm Victor Osimhen. Keep listening to
keep listening to Femi and the Gang on Nigeria Info. Here we are, ready to rumble. We're too humble to fumble, so no one will have cause to grumble as we continue with proceedings for tonight, March 6, 2023. My name is Chuma Noli, and I'm feeling very free to have fun with you. It feels like it's a free decree for me now. Temperature of the studio is at a very low degree, so things are cool as ice all around the place. Dizzy and Michael joins in, and Overdose is going to be here in a second. I saw him earlier looking all suited up like he's going to be coaching the cool Azobia Info team for the Lagos State Swan Cup or something like that. At least he will not concede seven goals, I think, as coach of the cool Azobia Info team. And Brownish also comes into the studio right now. Yeah, Overdose looking like that coach. Adesia Michael, good evening to you. Welcome to the show.
Hi. You had to call my Overdose. Why are you looking like all suited up? Kilo Shele, Baba. What is going on? Hey. Looking
like what?
Rafa Benitez this evening.
I don't say they enter your eye, but that close.
Close up. You wish.
Close up.
You just wish.
You know.
You wish.
You know. I don't know. Chuma, have you introduced me or should I? I don't want to jump the gun. You understand?
This is what happens when
I have several reasons to come to the broadcast today.
But you guys were just denied the 10-goal haul now.
No, but...
We're just three shy of the 10-goal haul.
Yeah, I know. These things do happen. They do happen. But like I said, I have several reasons to be here.
I'll tell my children
number
about that
fixture. Number one is the fact that I'm being paid to be here. That's number one.
I called that fixture.
Number two is that the fans enjoy my voice. They enjoy when I'm on air.
Nice one.
They always want me to break things down into pieces, especially with relation to sports. Number three,
especially when you've been broken down to pieces.
Yeah, exactly. Number three
under
is
the
that
rebels.
I love the microphone. You know, I love talking. You understand? I've been talking for 12 years now.
Yes, sir.
And that's what has been, you know, bringing
stunting or no?
You understand? Food on the table, man.
Yes. Mm. Then number four is that I need to chastise Man United. You know, because they say spare the rod and spoil the child. When the rod is fired, wow, the child will, you know.
So you've been talking on 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, Man United, 7, 6, 8 years, 9 years, 10 years, 12 years.
After six, why did you say Man United?
Eh?
After six.
Sorry, was still what you talking?
See, Chuma, I'll tell you the remaining three before the end of the
broadcast. I've taken note of four.
Yes.
And,
four.
You know.
Four.
After you guys won four out of four in four different competitions, and I came to this one, and then
people use at least one.
Seven killed before you.
But again, people use at least 2K to collect like 5K.
No.
They don't
no
carry anything, they collect 7K.
No,
oh, God.
Okay. But again, if anybody.
But that's okay. Nagi.
Loki.
No, Chuma. Not just OK.com.
Just go home. Brownish yourself, man. Good to see you, bro.
I'm doing absolutely fantastic. I'm also doing great. You know, I'm sitting down beside the legend who, I mean, in one game, he took all the goals that I've conceded this entire season. Liverpool visited upon.
That's the only Barca
have conceded eight goals this entire season. And Manchester United collected seven in one game.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, absolutely embarrassing. You know, that's small club stuff.
Why you like this?
These things don't happen.
You just said
no, they only happen to United. I'm sorry.
You don't do this. You just said in
6-3 last October, 6-1 under Fergie. Why are they like this, Man United?
You just said in one game, they conceded seven, and one game is football without violence, and you're sure about it.
No, this is no one game football without violence. This is violence.
All right, let's get into it. These guys have already set the stage for what took place over the weekend in England. By the way, if you guys are mourning for Manchester United, maybe you should be mourning for the Flying Eagles now too, because we are losing by a goal to nothing against Gambia in the final moments of the semi-final fixture of the Africa Under 20 Cup of Nations. Okay, I'll share with you the full-time score from that game when it's done and dusted. We've already qualified for the World Cup, so even if we lose in this semi-final game, we wouldn't change the fact that we'll be at the FIFA Under 20 World Cup in the coming months later this year. Now, to results of those games in England, if you just landed from Mass or something like that, we're here to serve the masses, so we are still here with you to share with you the full-time scores from those games on Saturday and Sunday. Now, Sunday, first up, Nottingham Forest 2, Everton 2. And then Liverpool beating Manchester United by 7-0. Mohamed Salah, Darwin Nunes and Cody Gakpo. And also Firmino scoring the goals for Liverpool in that fixture. The biggest defeat for Manchester United in more than 90 years. And on Saturday, Manchester City beat Newcastle by 2-0. It ended Aston Villa 1, Crystal Palace 0, Brighton and Hove Albion 4, West Ham United 0, Chelsea at last! Beat Leeds United by a goal to nothing. And that was Wolverhampton Wanderers 1, Tottenham Hotspur 0, and Southampton 1, Leicester City 0. The most important result from the weekend was the one that saw the team on top of the table ensure that they still do have the advantage and have a 5-point lead over their closest rivals in Manchester City. The end was very dramatic. Arsenal coming from 2 goals down to beat AFC Bournemouth.
Yes, I did talk about it. I did say that a goal was going to come. And a goal indeed has come. Sorry for that break. But Reece Nelson is Arsenal's match winner, ladies and gentlemen, from a corner kick. He thumped in the ball and beat Neto in the process to give Arsenal all 3 points. Oh, there. This is how you score a goal in the last moment of a game. Alex, it's Arsenal 3, Bournemouth 2.
Yeah, they've gone and won that game. They've done it again, Arsenal, from behind. And they've won this game by 3-2. And look at the celebrations coming from Arteta.
You can understand the celebrations now. I could also enjoy your lines, Alex. Let's go in for a commercial break. While we return from that, we'll focus on what the weekend had to offer. Think about it, a very playful question. This is not like a serious talking point, though, but who had the better weekend between Arsenal and Liverpool? You could just add that one to a major conversation. And, of course, we're going to be talking about what the victory for the Gunners means in their title race and their quest to win the first Premier League title in 19 years. These and more should excite you on Game On after this quick timeout. Welcome back to the show. Game On with Femi and the Gang on 99.39 for Daisy and Michael in here with the man that you love to call Chigozie Brownish. Chidozie Okoroji is in the mix too, and yours truly, Chuma Nolly. And you're out there too, and you're part of this. I guarantee to speak to us. He's in the WhatsApp portal, Twitter handle at Nigeria Info FM, and the phone lines too. That will be buzzing in the coming minutes. Nigeria's Flying Eagles have been playing at the Africa Under 20 Cup of Nations. On Thursday evening, we qualified for the semi-final stage of the competition, which also ensured that we got a ticket to represent our continent at the next FIFA Under 20 World Cup, something that excited the boss of the side, Ladan Bosso, who said, "Now we've gotten one part sorted. The next part was to go on to the final."
We planned with the least target of qualifying the country, that's Nigeria, our dear country Nigeria, to the World Cup, and we have done God of able to do just that. So the next thing now is for us to play in the finals. And play in the finals, you have to first of all subdue your opponents in the semi-finals.
Alrighty, that semi-final game kicked off by 6 p.m. our time this evening. It's over now. That semi-final fixture, it was Nigeria against Gambia. The full-time score is Nigeria 0, Gambia 1. The Gambian side are through to the final. They will take on Senegal in that stage of the competition over the weekend. And Nigeria have to play the third-place match of that tournament. Senegal earlier today had beaten Tunisia by 3-0. Nigeria again losing to Gambia. So it's Nigeria against Gambia in the bronze medal. Nigeria against Tunisia, sorry, in the bronze medal game. And Senegal will be up against Gambia in the final for this competition. Now, guys, it's already planned out for me that we're going to talk about this in the second part of our conversation on the show. Let's just wrap things up as to the Premier League games over the weekend. And first off, you know, from a playful POV now, Brownish overdose and a daze without having to go into in-depth analysis. Who do you think had the better weekend, Arsenal or Liverpool? Which of these two teams had the better weekend?
It has to be Arsenal.
Okay.
Arsenal had the better weekend, given the fact that they are in the hunt for the Premier League, and that was the fixture that the everyone felt they're becoming comeback kings now. And
That's the point. Hold these at that. Thank you, Ma. Who do you think had the better weekend?
Well, I'll say it's Liverpool. Liverpool had a better weekend. For one, Salah, you know, used that fixture to become the highest goal scorer in Liverpool's history.
Premier
you
League.
Know, two wonderful goals, surpassing Robbie Fowler. More so that three of their players were on hat-tricks in that game. I mean, how often do you see a game where three people score two goals in a game?
That's another good point. You.
It's got to be Liverpool.
Whoa. Liverpool 2, Arsenal 1, based on this now.
If we're being honest, because Liverpool didn't concede against a high-flying Manchester United side.
So no point.
Arguably the second most informed side in club football since the start of the year 2023. Managed to get one over their perennial rivals in one of the biggest games in English football history. And then they restored, how would I put it, they restored the confidence of the fans that Anfield is actually, you know, still a fortress after that dropping for Real Madrid.
Another good point. Thank you, guys. All of you made very, very interesting and intelligent points around that one. And you was listening to us. You could also just add that. Now, that's not a major discussion for us, but just let me know from a more relaxed point of view, which of these two teams had a better weekend, Arsenal or Liverpool, by your own estimation. So Brownish and Overdose going for Liverpool. Adeze making her point in favour of Arsenal. Now, the Gunners having to come from two goals down to win that fixture, getting goals from Thomas Partey, Ben White, and the quality of a man who certainly made his presence count for them. And, you know, people were even calling him Nelson Mandela. Shout out to our colleague on Wazobia FM, the man you love to call Buchiono Kalalaba. So Nelson, Rhys Nelson scoring the third goal for Arsenal, coming off the bench to make that happen. Mikel Arteta is the boss of the Gunners, and he was a very happy man.
The first second of the game, with a routine that we knew that they could do, they did it brilliantly. We defended so poorly, and then you start to have to climb a mountain against 10 players behind the ball. And we tried in every single way. We didn't score the goal, and suddenly you are 2-0 down with a set play again. And after that is, yeah, don't lose the shape, don't lose the discipline, and start to do all the simple things right and try to score the first one.
All right, they scored the first. They went on to score the second, make it 2-2, and then scored the third in the 96th minute of that game to win the fixture and go back 5 points clear on top of the table. Now, what does that comeback win mean to Arsenal's title quest? Again, I'm going to come back to this fantastic cast in the studio with me. I'll start with you, Brownish. From your own perspective, that comeback win, you also think of what they did against Aston Villa now. That's Arsenal. Then it was 1-0, 1-1, 2-1, 2-2, and then they now went on to score 3-2, 4-2 to win the game, Arsenal, and they've had to come back again. What do you think that means in Arsenal's race for the title with as many as, what, 13 more games to the end of the season?
Well, personally, it means many things, right? Yeah. First off, we remember Manchester City had to come back from a two-goal deficit to win the Premier League last season, on the last day of the season. Yeah. First off, what it means is that this Arsenal side are showing character that was previously not there, right? You know, Arsenal will run at you 90 minutes, keep their shape, even when they are conceding. You know, the goals they conceded, the first one was a shocker. The second one was from a set piece, you know. But the goals that they scored was through grit. It was through resilience. Look at Partey's goal. You know, look at the second goal. Look at the final goal. It was just stunning brilliance. And these are the kinds of goals and these are the kinds of games that win you championships, that win you titles. Because we all know that, you know, league football is a marathon. It's not just good to have a good run for a while. You need to actually consistently keep it up. And Arsenal have shown that they are ready to consistently keep it up this season. Now, this is not just the first game that they're winning by 3-2 at the death. Look at that game against Manchester United. So now, Arsenal did it on the big stage against United, right? And then when you move it on, you know, I say, oh, can they do it on a cold night in Bournemouth? And they definitely did, right? It's in games like this where people expect you to just win off the bat. And people forget that this Arsenal side are they have a very, very impactful Manchester City breathing down their neck. It's easy that breezed past Newcastle like they were nothing. Mm-hmm. And this is a Newcastle side that has been very high-flying this season, the shockers of the season, who managed to get a 3-3 draw against City in the first leg. City come then, breeze past them, and then Arsenal are facing a Bournemouth that they should be beating, and they go 2 goals down by the 56th minute. It's enough to break the minds of any other top side. They could probably say, oh, we still have a two-point advantage at the top of the league table if we don't beat these guys. But here's the thing. The thing is, that's not enough if you're going to be a title-winning side. You need to always, always have your fate in your own hands and have enough of a cushion. And 5 points is by no means enough of a cushion. They've lost a few points at the top of the league table. But here's the thing. Arsenal are not giving up. And they're showing this on its own will give the confidence back to the players that, look, it doesn't matter if we are 2 goals down. And that's the mentality that Real Madrid have so bad that makes them so lethal in European football. They can be 2 goals down at 85 minutes. Mm-hmm. As long as there's up to 3 minutes of added on time, they have that in their mind. If they score a goal by 88 minutes, it's on. Right? So I think that's personally something that this Arsenal side have cultivated. Right. And it's really, really helping them. And I think Mikel Arteta's job is getting a lot easier because of, you know, the way that the team have adapted to his tactics and then the mentality that is infusing them.
Well, you know, you could listen to Branish and just put, you know, some topics, and that's what I want to do. I mean, he mentioned character. That's one thing. But again, if you look at the way Mikel Arteta has really demanded so much from the players, you definitely say there was an improvement, or there is an improvement, because okay. Right now we're seeing a changed Arsenal. First off, he wasn't really given time by the fans, but the board stuck with him, saying that this is the guy that will lead us. I remember last season when he failed to qualify for the Champions League, Arsenal fans were like, Arteta has to go. Why did he ruin their season? Yeah. But then the board said, you know what, let's keep fit with this man. What did he do? He first took out the players who were not committed, players like Lacazette and Aubameyang. And then you could see, I saw recently, you know, where he was addressing the boys, you know, at the training ground right there before a game. Where is your heart, Thomas? Where is your heart? Give me your heart. You know, when a manager talks to you like that, you want to play for him. You want to give blood, sweat, and tears just to make sure. And you look at Arsenal and the reaction yesterday. Typically, Arsenal used to know. 2 goals down, they already just, you know, throw it in the air and they, oh, okay, we're 2 goals down.
Like
let's
some
just,
people did yesterday.
No, yeah. You know, they will lose their heads. Exactly. Like Man United did yesterday.
Now, you can call him. I don't call anything.
No, if you want to talk to me direct. Don't go to the corners. So, Manchester United lost their head, but not Arsenal. Once they got that first goal, I saw Mikel Arteta talking to Reece Nelson just before he came on. And you needed to see the way Arteta held his head. I was talking to him with eye contact, telling him, you have to go out there and show me that.
Sin a bitch, I mean, but don't fall in love.
Come on. And then Reece Nelson gets the assist to Ben White for the second goal and scores the winner. That only shows one thing, that Arsenal, in terms of mentality, they've really grown. Yes, they still have areas where they can work on.
Facts.
Like the game against Man City showed us. Mm. The jittery, you know, especially when under pressure by a bigger team. But when it comes to the small teams, they tend to do the business. And we've seen them come back a whole lot this season. They came back against West Ham. They came back against Leicester. You talked about Aston Villa, Bournemouth. Arsenal have been coming against Fulham. Magalhaes scored an own goal, but they still came back to win that game by 2-1. So that shows that the manager is doing something right. And right now, it's positive energy. Even whether Leandro Trossard starts, or Nketiah, or Martinelli, or whoever. And one big addition to this Arsenal side has been Oleksandr Zinchenko. That guy's mentality is out of this world. He was one player I saw on Saturday that was really pressing high up the field and was defending at the same time. So when you have those kind of people to motivate you in a squad where there are potentials, there are young stars and there are experienced hands like Granit Xhaka, you just have to give everything. And that's what Arsenal are doing.
Ada.
Yeah, it's I think it means a lot for Arteta. Mm. It shows that they have this unshakable faith in the philosophy of Arteta. Unshakable faith because even when the games and teams bring in the dark arts, Arsenal would, there's something about them. I said that there's no plan B and plan C to their game. That all they want to do and all they like to do is to improve plan A, make it better, make it hotter, make it faster, depending on the version of the opposition. And that's what they've done. Even against Bournemouth, they kept on with their passes. they kept on with their passes. They kept on looking for those tight spaces between Bournemouth fullback and centre backs to find something to create. Then eventually the corner came on. And time wasting does not pay. I keep telling some of these teams that bring in the dark arts of time wasting for all of the Bournemouth, because those goals came very late, 97th minute plus. Arsenal were just very, very strong. Like, okay, guys, we want to waste some time. Okay, we're going to play the games even 100 minutes and we're going to wear you down with the passes. So it really means a lot for them. And that it means that they cannot give up on the title. They're going to fight to the very end. That is come May or first week of June. First week of June, they're going to fight to the very end to ensure that, look, man, we're not going to concede the title. Everything is working out for them. Everyone, when they step in, whatever it is, they touch tons of gold. Look at Reece Nelson, a forgotten man. He's been there since 2017, just 9 Premier League starts. And then eventually he got the goal. So I talked about them having the best weekend because something is at stake. The fixture between Liverpool and Man United, he was just bragging rights. Any of the teams protecting the legacy, and then fans will chant, yes, you have 20 titles, I have 19. And then bragging rights, that's all. But they had the better weekend because they knew. The more you seed more points, the more you give Manchester City the momentum. So I think they had the better weekend and everything is just working out for them. They believe in Arteta and his grooming young boys and want to play football for him.
Beautiful stuff. I think that I just had to allow all of you share your thoughts on what this victory means for Arsenal's title quest. And everybody has come through with a strong point. You know, even the Bible says come through with a strong point. You know, let's go to the phone lines now to hear from the listener too. First off, just chip in as some toppings. You know, when you go in to get ice cream and you want to hear how ice cream, you also ask for toppings, you know. So you could just do it as a toppings now to your ice cream, which is who had a better weekend, Arsenal or Liverpool, and then get into the major conversation, which is, you know, basically, what does this comeback victory for Arsenal mean in the race for the title? You sure can have your say on that. In a bit, we'll switch to issues around Nigeria's Flying Eagles and that performance in the semi-finals of the Africa Under 20 Cup of Nations. You can dial 0700-993-993-993 to join us. I'll take that one more time. 0700-993-993-993. For our female callers, 01465-7190 is available. This is Game On. It's brought to you by Femi and the gang. It is Life on Nigeria Info. Enough of our talking. Now you have a chance to also show some walking. Welcome. Good evening. All right, felt like you're doing testing the phone lines, 1, 2, 3. I hope you've tested it right now and you can call back. You can like to also acting up a bit. There are options, so there'll be no distractions now.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful evening to you all.
Same here too.
Yeah, my name is Steven John.
Okay.
For who had the better weekend, I think that's to be Liverpool. Because if you say Arsenal, we expected them to defeat them and Bournemouth. Okay. But that of Liverpool, a supposedly not informed or struggling club, defeating a supposedly informed club, bro, that was mad. As in, it shocked me, honestly. I never envisaged for 7-0. So for me, Liverpool had the better win. And as for Arsenal's victory, what does it tell us? Are we just I know that this is a sign that certainly they are going to fight to the end. But then they should try and avoid this kind of thing. This thing is happening for the 18th time now. They did it against Aston Villa and now it's against Bournemouth. They should try not to concede early, as in they should always show that fighting spirit by scoring first and winning to the end. Not by just scoring and coming from behind. They might run out of luck someday. So that's what I'll just say. Thank you and God bless you.
Stephen, thank you so much. Nice hearing from you. Welcome. Good evening.
Hello, Chuma.
Yes, sir. What's your name, please?
Good evening. I'm Ezedun from Surulere.
Welcome, Ezedun.
Thank you very much. I don't see Manchester United as an informed team. If you defeat Manchester United, it's a terrible team. You cannot say that you have tried. Chuma, when you are to go down and you see your lead being slip away, and because of the championship spirit you have, you fought back at that minute, you get the point. is far, far better than when you defeat a terrible team 10-0 or 11-0. No.
A terrible team that beat Barcelona in the Europa League, a terrible team that just won the Carabao Cup. Are they that terrible?
Very, very. You see, we know Manchester United.
Wow.
It's like what I told Chelsea when Tuchel came. Tuchel is a very terrible coach. The same thing as Erik ten Hag. If Erik ten Hag cannot do well in Ajax, where he have a very, very young and quality players, he cannot do well in Manchester United. So, to me, it's a doom. Arsenal come back yesterday. It's far, far better than beating a terrible team like Manchester United 7-0.
Okay.
It's a doom.
It's a doom. Thank you for speaking to us. Hello, welcome. You're live on Game On.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Chooks.
I hope your day has not been terrible, yeah?
No, it hasn't.
Nice one. Welcome, Chooks.
Okay. Considering your question about who's had a better weekend,
yeah,
I think I kind of looked at it from a general perspective, and I think it's actually Liverpool, even though it's slight, because when you look at it from the general grand scheme of things, Arsenal are still 5 points clear. Man City didn't actually lose. But when you consider the fact that I think 3 weeks ago, I saw Emilian Rice on one Premier League show saying that Liverpool were like 11 points behind.
Yeah.
And this same weekend, Tottenham lost.
Yeah.
Who are going for the top four.
True.
Who else lost the game?
Newcastle lost. Too.
Newcastle lost to Man City. And all of a sudden, Liverpool are 3 points behind fourth with a game in hand. So when you look at the general table overall, you can actually say that Arsenal have... That was a morale boosting win, definitely. But the difference is still the same. But Liverpool are now like 3 points behind with the game in hand. So I think that alone tilts it to Liverpool's favour.
Okay. Yeah, that's all right, thank you very much. Thank you so much. Yeah, you really took your time to go in depth with your thoughts around that. And yeah, you made so much sense. I think that one could argue in that limelight as to how important this victory was for Liverpool, which makes it a better weekend for them compared to Arsenal, as you put it. I can get a few more thoughts now. Welcome. Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Chumali E and the guys in the studio, good evening.
Yeah, good evening.
For me, I think it was Liverpool. And because the win was, even I don't think Liverpool themselves anticipated that win.
Okay.
So it was a big one for them.
True.
And yes, and then Arsenal, I think so many people have said it all. For Arsenal, their win was good, right? But we expected them to win. So when they were losing, I felt like I was kind of disappointed. But when they came back and then to win it, I was happy, and I was like, okay, this was what they ought to have done initially. So they should be careful because they can't try things like this with Manchester United and go scot-free with it.
Okay.
So, I mean, with the big team. So, yeah, so I think the only big team that they can do it and get away with is Chelsea. So they should be careful.
It's Charente,
by the way.
Charente, thanks for speaking to us. And I love where this went to, the fact that there are diverse thoughts around it. Madizi and Michael made some very strong points, because why it's even more important for Arsenal, why it was a better weekend, why they have a better weekend, is because, hey, they're in the race for the title, not in the important past, the title itself.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
And then some other people have come through with some good defense for Liverpool too, as to why theirs was a better experience than Arsenal's. On WhatsApp, thank you for always speaking to us. This one says, I think Arsenal had the best weekend. Unfortunately, you didn't attach your name to your message. Please next time do that, okay? Thank you. Chukuma from Ibeshe says, Liverpool gave Manchester United... Okay, you're calling the name of the drink yesterday. We all know, yeah? Thank you for your thoughts, too. And Messi, I can see your comment. I'm going to send this message because it's surprising. I followed up on it and I'm surprised you still haven't gotten your prize from a while ago. I'm going to follow up on that with the accounts department and ensure that that's sorted, okay? Sorry about that, Messi. So now we can get to a situation that perhaps is not Messi, but in the eyes of Nigerians, I remember Anthony the Voice hosting Game On Friday and asking about if it's that important for us to win this on the 20 competition and the World Cup and all of those kind of things. And people say, yeah, we want to win. As Nigerians, we always want to win everything, I know. So now that we're not going to win this Africa and the 20 Cup of Nations, what's up? We think we're going to happen now. If you missed out on it earlier, we lost to Gambia by a goal to nothing in our semi-final game. We've qualified for the World Cup already, though, because the four teams that got to the semi-finals get a ticket to represent Africa at the World Cup. However, our coach, Ladan Bosso, wanted to go a couple of steps further by winning the semi-final game and winning the final to emerge as champions of the Africa and the 20 Cup of Nations, which will not happen anymore. Now we have to take on Tunisia in the bronze medal match sometime, I think, on Friday. Now, this is my question to these fantastic gentlemen and lady in the studio. If you guys were to pick options now, which would you prefer? That we go on and win the FIFA Under 20 World Cup, or that in years to come we will have stars, players who become stars from the for the Super Eagles from this crop of players now? You know, if you were given a blank check by God Almighty and He says, "Hey, I'm gonna answer one of these two prayers of yours," you know, which will you be jumping on? God, help us to win the FIFA Under 20 World Cup, or, oh God, please, let's ensure that like at least five players from this team will become stars for the Super Eagles in the future. Overdose, I'll start with you.
You know, the mantra of, you know, having players to join the Super Eagles can never be overemphasized. I know that we've won tournaments in the past, talking about under 20 tournaments. The last time we won this particular tournament that, you know, Ladan Bosso and the under 20 are going or are taking part in was in 2015. You know, under Manu Garuba. But then again, how many of those stars made it to the Super Eagles? You know, how many? That has always been a problem in this part of the country, where you have a bunch of under 17 players or a bunch of under 20 players, and only two, three of them make it to the Super Eagles. Let me even go back to, you know, the Kelechi Iheanacho set. Okay. I mean, Kelechi Iheanacho is one player who's shown, Taiwo Awoniyi also shown at that under 17 tournament where Nigeria won. I think in the UAE, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So you look at the players that Isaac Success, you know, also came out of that. But, I mean, there were a team of 22 players, but only like four or five of them made it to the Super Eagles. The same thing now, Victor Osimhen set. You know, Samuel Chukwueze was part of that set as well. But then again, you know, it was only Victor Osimhen, Samuel Chukwueze, and then maybe one or two of them. So for me personally, I would want this bunch of players to make it to the Super Eagles. To Flying Eagles, they're playing at Flying Eagles level right now. They should get to the under 23, then from the under 23 to the Super Eagles. But again, I think it's because we don't have a system. If you go to Germany, the German system allows players who play at under 17 to progress at the same time to under 20, and then from there, they progress to under 23, and then to the German national team. So when you're playing at the German national team, you know that, okay, you're already used to the system, and it's the same pattern all through, the same structure, so that at least when you see them play, you say, yes, that's a German style of play. They're playing like the German machines, like we used to say. Yeah. So the same thing is expected of Nigeria. We don't have a culture, that's number one. We don't have a structure, number two. And we don't even have the facilities. We just focus on one, two, three players and say, okay, let's, you know, promote those ones. And then we continue in the journey of going abroad to go and, oh, Leke Foresight is of Nigerian origin. Let's go and call him. There's a Braithwaite or Latunji. He plays in Yorkshire. Oh, let's invite him. Let's talk to him to play for the Super Eagles. Forgetting to develop our own and carry them along. So for me, oh, you already know where I stand. I want the players, not just to win the World Cup, but winning the World Cup, we can always win the World Cup. But what will he gain? Or what will we gain to win the World Cup and not carry the players along to Super Eagles level? I mean, that's we are killing our football, so to speak.
Brownish is keen to add something on this. I was going to go to Adeze next up, but he can jump on it. And I'm asking this question because, again, people could also argue and say, hey, Chuma, what are you even talking about? It sounds like you're saying rubbish. Reason being, the moment you win this World Cup, you will expose these players to big clubs and they'll become big names for the Super Eagles, certainly. I don't think he's cast in stone, though. Like Overdose said, 2013, a few names. 2007, that we won FIFA Under 17 World Cup. The top scorer in that competition, of course, we all know it's documented, Macaulay Crisantos. 2013, when we won the FIFA Under 17 World Cup, Dele Alampasu was the best goalkeeper in that competition.
Thank you.
How much of a star has Dele Alampasu grown to become for the Super Eagles? You know, so it's not cast in stone that when you win these tournaments, surely big names will come out from there to become big boys in the Super Eagles. I just had to put that in the mix first off. So we continue. Brownish.
Yeah. Personally for me, I feel like I would prefer for them to grow into the Super Eagles, right? And here's why.
Okay.
I have been saying this thing for eons here. We don't have a streamlined process from the youth teams into the Super Eagles. Like what you said and what Overdose said. It's just, oh, we see that guy. He's of Nigerian descent. He has been playing in Spain his entire life. Let's go and beg him. And if the Spanish national team and his Jamaican national team that he's, and probably the Canadian national team that his parents and his grandparents have managed to get Ghana for him, if they decide they don't want him, then he will pick Nigeria. Nah. There was a time when if you wore the green, white, green of the Nigerian jersey, you played like you were playing for a Nigerian team, like you with the pride of playing for a Nigerian team, right? And some of our biggest names have been homebred, you know? Look at the 1998 squad.
Yeah, 94.
Look at 94. You know, these are players who grew from here, senior men, and eventually grew into that team. And the fact is, we've gone beyond an era where you can just have a good team for 2 years, where you're allowed to just have a good team for 2 years. Look at the French national team. From 2014 till 2022, their team has been almost, there's been chops and changes. Yeah. But the fact is, you can see the growth in that national team. 2014 till 2018, you saw that they had something brewing in 2014.
Got to Euros 2016
Got
final.
Got to Euros 2016 final.
Lost to Portugal.
Exactly. Won the World Cup in 2018. Went to the Euros.
Won the European Nations League 2019.
Went to the Euros in 2020. And I think they were dumped out by,
I think it was through penalties when Mbappe missed.
Yeah, when
Mbappe. Quarterfinals.
Exactly.
Or something like that. Yeah.
Got to the quarterfinals of the Euros. Went to the World Cup final again in 2022. And undoubtedly, this same French side will still go to the Euros in 2024.
Yeah.
In 2024, and they will definitely make an impact.
They have the same manager too. Just
exactly. You know, player. And here's the thing. The thing is, there is a clear progression from the under 17s, the under 20s, the under 23s in the French national team, and then their main national team, Le Bleu.
I know you want to say more. You can do that alongside the Daisy and Michael as far as this discussion is concerned. But that will be after this commercial break. Wouldn't last for too long. We'll be back with more for you right here on Game On. So we return to keep you on track and ensure that sporting-wise there's nothing you lack, as together we're set to hit the mark and take you out of the dark with our presentation spark. And someone say, hack, Game On is back on Nigeria Info. Chuman Noliadeze, Michael, Chidozie Okoroji and Chigozie Brownish in the studio. And you there too, always contributing with your thoughts and comments on WhatsApp, Twitter and the phone lines too. Now, congratulations to this guy. He's done very well from 2022 and now he's been recognized for his quality.
Hi guys, I'm Victor Osimhen. Keep listening to... Keep listening to Femi Adigang on Nigeria Info.
Yeah, Victor Osimhen has been named the best foreign athlete in Italy for 2022. The Napoli star has been scoring goals aplenty for that side. Yeah, we know about the consistent run of this year, you know, scoring in 8 straight matches in the Serie A. But before all of his exploits this year, he was also a fantastic star for Napoli for the entirety of 2022. And for that reason, he has now been recognized as the best foreign athlete in Italy for last year. Congrats to you, Victor Osimhen. Now, before we went in for that commercial break, we're speaking about the Flying Eagles of Nigeria, something that touches even Osimhen, and I say so because of the fact that, yeah, he was a star for the Golden Eaglets, but he's one who understands what it's like to play at the age grade level for Nigeria. And sometimes you don't have to win these competitions to become the star. I'll give you an example. In 2003, Osine Gwavon, if my memory serves me right, had the chance to take charge of the under-17 national team for Nigeria. John Mikel Obi was in that team then, that under-17 team where were in shambles. They were not good at all. In fact, they didn't do anything. They did not prove anything at the world stage. Let me sound like I'm in the viewing center now speaking. Yeah, 2 years after that, we all remember Mikel Obi as the guy who went to the FIFA Under-20 World Cup final. But at under-17 level, the team he happened to find himself in did not do well. However, Mikel now played for Nigeria consistently at Super Eagles level from 2006 until sometime around 2013. So he had the longevity of at the highest level of consistency for us for like 8 years or just over that. And he won stuff with the Super Eagles too. So he grew to become a big name at the senior national team level. when he was part of the team that won the AFCON in 2013. That's what we're talking about. He played in the 2014 World Cup too. You wouldn't forget that in a hurry. And he played in a few more tournaments for us. Pardon me, I was very wrong. He played until what, 2019, yeah? Was that 2017? Yeah, 2019. Ighalo also moving off. Mikel was in the 2019 AFCON, wasn't he? Yeah, he was, as we won bronze in that Africa Cup of Nations. He also played in the Olympic Games in 2018 and won bronze with Nigeria at the Olympic Games. I'm going to try and be sure if he was in the 2019 AFCON, but he won bronze with Nigeria at the Olympic Games in, I think, 2018. So, that longevity. This is a guy who played in an under 17 team that did not do well as at 2003. So is it a priority that we always win this tournament? Well, that's just aside. My major talk around this is, if you had a blank check from God and you had to pick just one option, and the options are Nigeria should win the FIFA under 20 World Cup this year, or that players from this team who don't win the under 20 World Cup become stars for the Super Eagles in the future, which of these options will you go for, Adeze?
Well, truth is, you cannot underestimate the power of consistent and intentional
growth. By the way, it was 2016 Olympics for Mikel, sorry, not 2018. Yeah,
2016. Mm-hmm. You know, you cannot underestimate the power of consistency and intentional plan, you know. There's one of the chats I had with Ibrahim Gusso. I'm yet to air though, but one of these days I'll air that chat. But I spoke with Finidi aired yesterday.
Yeah.
And he kept on hammering on youth development of our football. It's not even, when I mean youth, it's not even under 15, under 11. Starting from under, we don't have such things. And just the administration that just left, Phoenix administration, also did not help for a grassroots development of football in Nigeria. When I mean grassroots, that is the youth combining talents from across everywhere. Even sometimes when some of us go out to watch the amateur teams, in the kind of poor level of football you see, it's not encouraging. Not because we don't have the talent, but because we don't have that sequential, systematic, ground to improve them. However, for the Flying Eagles everyone is talking about, why do we keep recycling coaches? That is the big question. We need coaches with good ideas. Now, this game that just ended, they had about 71% possession. They had the passing accuracy was a problem. Mm. So many errors, misplaced passes, poor structure, poor tactical plan. When you trail a game, that is when the coach comes out. How do you psych your boys and tell them, this is exactly what I want you to do to mount a comeback? Mm. Apart from scoring two goals against Mozambique, they have not scored more than two again. It's just one goal. They lost to Senegal on match day one. Coming into the semi-final, it was an own goal. It was a labored performance. La Liga recently partnered with Nigeria to partner under 15 to improve our game. But I don't know how far we've been able to key into that plan. We keep on relying on so-called overage group of players to just bail us out in the name of fire brigade approach. It's a huge problem. And again, we have situations where when you give a coach a job, the administrators don't give them that free hand to select players. You see phone calls flying everywhere. Hey, I get one of my boys for you, Isabi, play. And then they bamboozle the coaches, a lot of players, and then it becomes a problem. One of them reached out to me, one of our players. And again, our players are also not that determined. You heard what Finidi said, talked about how our players are more. He called them, he was just one word of short of calling them social media players. That is what most of them are. One of them reached out to me, plays for shooting recently, say, my club don't drop me. I say, what do you do? Say, I didn't do anything, no. I should help him. I had to go and do my own investigation. I realized that he has not been training up to the standard. You know, Gbenga Ogunbote now. He's a man that when he sees serious players, he knows. But the way he came out, how can your club drop you? You're still under contract. And I had to investigate. He was not playing well. He was not playing up to standard. So when you look at all of this, they're all in general encompassing. Like, how do you expect to hit heights when you've not developed yourself intentionally? We keep saying this thing. We must go back to the grassroots. And when I mean grassroots now, pure talent that's got no connect. Remember how Victor was talking about how he emerged? He went for a trial. They nearly bypassed him. Nearly. So I said, let's just try this boy. It looks like he has something. He didn't know no senator. He didn't know no politician to make the calls for him. He just emerged. And now everyone is celebrating. There are 2,002 victors out there on the streets. And again, Chuma,
yeah,
it's not just identifying them. How do you nurture the talent? Nurturing is one area we lack. And by nurturing, you need world-class coaches. And we keep recycling now. Salisu Yusuf has scored 30 players on the Dream Team. Salisu Yusuf again, that have been part of the Super Eagles failure. Why do we keep doing this? Well, Chuma, it is what it is. And it's so hurtful that even after 2012, 2013, this is 2023, we're still where we are.
Just to add to what Ada said, how many of our coaches actually go for courses abroad? How many of them actually get knowledge from the top guys who have been there for decades? I mean, we talk about the fact that, yes, we need to have sound coaches. But, you know, I remember while Amachi Pinnick was president of the NFF, he promised that coaches, Nigerian coaches, will regularly travel abroad, you know, for refresher courses, you know, and be updated with the game, the high standards of the game. You know, sometimes when I hear these people, I just shake my head.
Chuba, I'm not surprised that...
High standards, yet, year after year, Nigerian referees are not selected to even officiate a World Cup tournament.
Eh? Did you say CAF? AFCON?
No.
You're going too far now. Come on, AFCON, local Africa football. You're going too far. World Cup is...
Referees.
Even linesman in CAF tournament is a problem. We can't even get in there.
Even fourth official.
At least in their defense, the so-called biggest league in the world, the Premier League, and I'm not being condescending with the line so-called, though, Miami, I'm just teasing. Doesn't have too many referees in the World Cup itself, despite being the big Premier League.
Yeah, so. Matthias Delitz was part of the 2019 under-20 that was were coached by Paul Aigbogun, remember? Matthias Delitz was... So where is he now? Bayern Munich. Playing good football consistently. Like you guys, you've mentioned so many players that went through the... So what has happened to them?
Okay.
Big question.
Yeah, so I was speaking about the longevity of John Mikel Obi, who came from an under-17 generation that didn't do well in 2003, but still lasted for so long with us, including taking us to win bronze at the AFCON in 2019 as the captain of that side, winning bronze also at the Olympic Games in 2016, winning the AFCON itself in 2013 under the leadership and guidance of the lead coach, Stephen Keshi. Yeah, that's somebody who came from a supposed failed under-17 generation and then grew through the ranks. So it's not about winning it all the time. Yeah, that's why I'm going back to you now. That blank check is there for you, but you can only write one of the two things: that Nigeria wins the FIFA Under-20 World Cup in 2023, or that players from this current crop of stars really grow to become big names with the Super Eagles in the years to come. Which of these two options would you be going for, as we have been knocked out in the race to win the Africa on the 20 Cup of Nations after losing to Gambia by a goal to nothing earlier this evening? Brownish mentioned something about longevity before the commercial break. And to also add to your point, Brownish, you used France as an example. Even Nigeria, you know, when we had Clement Westerhof there, the golden generation had longevity too, from bronze in 1990, from silver in 1990 AFCON, to bronze in 92 AFCON, to gold in 94 AFCON, to Olympic gold medal in Atlanta, to missing two AFCONs in 96 and 98 and still coming back in year 2000 and still reaching the final of the AFCON. That's what golden generations do. It didn't last long, just like you said with France. Over now to you through the phone line, 0700-993-993-993, and for our female caller, 01465-7190. In the beats, we'll give you an idea of things that happened in Formula One and tennis, and also eulogize the guys who did well for themselves in the other big leagues on the European continent. This is still Game On with Femi and the Gango Nigeria Info. Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah.
First time caller.
Give them left and right. Hot. I see you. Welcome.
Yeah. Good evening, Dominio from Iba.
Nice one.
Yeah, I would love to see many stars, not winning the World Cup.
You prefer to have them become stars for the Super Eagles in the future than win the rather than having to win the FIFA Under 20 World Cup, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you won it before.
Maybe not the Under 20 World Cup though. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah. Under 17.
Yeah. Under 17, we won 5 times. We've never won the Under 20 World Cup.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. Pleasure hearing from you for the very first time.
Hello, good evening, Chuma.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening, Adeze, Divo.
The voice came.
I'm so sorry. That connection just went dead. Call us back if you can, okay? I think line two, too. The phone lines just went
it's
on
hanging.
Some kind of pause mood.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll try my luck and see if I'll be lucky with this one.
What's he look?
Now I'm lucky. I have the whole bar. Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Hi, welcome.
Fine, thank you.
Yeah. We can hear you.
Can you hear me?
First of all, introduction. Yeah. What's your name, please?
Okay.
It's official, man. I'll just give you one final try. If this one does not work, then I know the phone lines are acting up. How are you doing? Welcome. Okay, it's official. I'll just leave that. The phone lights are hanging and acting up.
They're
now.
Hanging.
Like the Hanging Garden, you know, one of the seven wonders of the world.
Like cliffhanger.
Wait, it's true. The Liverpool show Man U to the seven wonders of the world. I'm just thinking.
Nagy. You
know? No, they took them to seventh heaven.
And our point, though, is, you know, Man U beats Barcelona, yeah? This, you know, when guys want to talk about Barcelona with the short form, it's like B-A-R-C-A. Some people love to call it Barca. Abi?
Barca.
Man U knocked out Barca in that context, in quotes. And then Liverpool humbled Man U using the effect of Salah. So do we now say Barca de Salah? Just saying though. Yeah, so more on the show now to the WhatsApp portal this time around. And this says, Chuma Rhyme, Sadeze, Chidozie Okoroji, and also Brownish. Good evening. I tell you guys for free that Manchester United were only brought back to earth from the blissful period they have enjoyed in recent weeks. Beating Barcelona, winning a trophy, I believe they never had the size that they were going to win coming into the season. Enjoying a brilliant string of amazing form, it was just needed a team that comes around to tell me that, hey, you are still Manchester United. Okay, I think the summary of what you're trying to say is they shouldn't get carried away by those earlier successes, but they still are Man U that have been struggling lately. I think that's what you're saying. David from Ikotun, thank you for your thoughts. He says, I prefer that the Flying Eagles win the World Cup over having to have players graduate to the Super Eagles to become stars at that level, because I have noticed a certain percentage of our players are too comfortable in Europe. So long as they are getting paid, they have no trouble sitting on the bench. Okay, so that's his point to silence those who think that our players are not enough stars for the Super Eagles. So he's feeling that it's because they become too comfortable when they go to Europe. They're just happy. Oh, my Namibia is from nowhere. And they collect $50,000 now. Oh, my God. My life has changed. And they don't think about the fact that a certain Ronaldo is getting $200 million in
discipline.
A year.
Or is it 2 years?
I did tell you, my brother.
Discipline. Like, that's exactly what it is. We just simply get carried away easily without...
And you don't even have the excuse of saying that, oh, Nasakpa, they make them, they do like that. Because Ronaldo didn't come from a rich household.
A view.
Neither did Messi.
One more reason that thing, truly, bro. You day place where we say, you know, we even get money to buy Gary Chop. Then you now come big rich where we say they collect $50,000 every week. Bro!
But that's why you need a manager.
But
the thing is...
The way I am like this now, right? Imagine that I'm going to work for maybe OVO Radio and I'm collecting $50,000 a week, right? And this is not even a competitive game. The fact is, I go, they work more because going from Nigerian Info to OVO Radio is a huge leap, which means that if I have enough talent to do that, I have enough talent to keep going all the way higher.
Are you sure you're not going to get comfortable with the fact that, oh boy, Namibia this, so...
No, because here's the thing.
You came from, in quotes, in that context, from nowhere now, and you're like, Namibia this, so...
Yeah, but here's the thing. The thing is, your association with... And that's what I don't understand. Your association with other bigger players and other bigger teams would definitely make you realize that this place that I'm at is not the highest. I have to go higher. And it's a fact, even in where we work now, there's nobody in this gang that is solely focused only on the gang. It's all about using a symbiotic relationship. We're always getting better because we can't stay stagnant. We have to maintain a certain level at the very least to keep us where we are or where our predecessors have grown us to be, right? And that's what I feel like people don't have. And maybe, again, it goes back to visionary leadership. Yeah. We do have people that here are not going to put up with your nonsense. If you're not good enough, they will drop you. Facts.
Akpaniko.
Yeah, and then the thing is...
Can I say what that means? Yeah.
Maybe these players don't have checks and balances going for them. And I agree, maybe check they need a manager. They do need a manager, but in the end, you go still manage yourself.
It's not football manager now. It's not football manager.
Yeah, I'm talking about like personal...
He's a personal manager.
You're right. See, listening to Overdose just speak now, and I'm thinking to myself, truly, why will I be happy earning $50,000 a month, when you know some people are making $100 million,
and they, you see no demo.
No, some people are making $100 million in a month. Check and balance.
Man,
bad. All righty. Your comments now on WhatsApp. Good evening, guys. I'm Mario from Bagada. I knew these on the 20 boys would lose this morning when the...
Guy, calm down.
Wow.
Calm down.
Wow. You can't even... No worry. I already know what he said, no but like, no we can't... It's not... It's NTBB.
Calm down, I beg. No, you never reach that level. No vex. Red Bull's Max Verstappen started the new season on a high, just like he ended last season, and he went on to dominate and get victory in the first Formula One race of the campaign, and that's the Bahrain Grand Prix. He certainly is a man who's pushing for more successes. His 36th victory in Formula One this season. He's a man who's won back-to-back Formula One titles. Looks like a bunch who would like to make it three in a row. It looks like this Formula One thing, when you're in form like on a consistent basis.
Yes, now that's why it's Formula One. Form. From form, you derive the formula needed to excel.
To be the one.
Yes. So
good,
that's
bro.
Form.
You're too good.
Formula One.
And again, check out, the guys have plenty of money.
Overdose, they come
so,
out.
Mula.
Security.
Formula.
Security.
Equals to formula.
Bro, it's over. Formula. Guys, on that
yeah,
note,
formula.
Thank you for being part of Game One. I'm going home, please.
And
thank
then, how many drivers does each car have?
Two.
One. Formula One.
Two drivers each.
No, one.
Sorry, the host of the Inside the Formula One. No,
Zane, not Inside
the Formula One.
No. So, wait, is it Lewis Hamilton? Are there two people in Lewis Hamilton's car? Max Verstappen, how many people are in his car? He's only one now. So Formula One.
Bro, I respect
see,
you.
See, I don't know. Wisdom.
Bro, speaking about one, the world number one in tennis. Things are not going too well for him because he will not be in Indian Wells.
You know, but again,
Novak Djokovic.
Again, you can say that's a one-off. He's off.
Overdose.
Well, because
wisdom,
he said,
wisdom.
Because he said no to vaccination. Since no vaccination. You know, because of that.
Too many.
Like a pine tropicana.
Novak Djokovic, who's a 22-time Grand Slam champion, will not take part in the Indian Wells competition. And that's because that competition is in the USA. And he has not been vaccinated against COVID-19. So because of no vaccination, he's out of this one, Djokovic, from that tournament.
Yeah, that's why he's a joke.
Yeah.
Djokovic.
But he can still go to
that's
the
why
US
he likes
Open.
To sit down.
Okay.
Novak.
He can still
Djokovic.
Play in the US Open because the COVID rule ends in April.
Nagi.
And this is March.
Oh, okay,
so
okay.
By the later in the year, they could leave the ban. But he applied, though, for exemption to participate in Indian Wells, but then they said no. But if he can persist till April, then they could waive it, and then he comes in here.
Did he hear Brownish explanation?
No, sorry, he said something.
Yeah, he said something. He said Novak. What do you say, or how do you say Sida in Yoruba?
Joku.
Yeah. Novak Djokovic.
Oh. They tell us he may go sit down.
Yeah, yeah.
My friend,
yeah.
Go and sit down. Leave this place.
Novak Djoko.
Okay, there's one song that says Mofe Djoko.
That sit down, yes.
Yeah. We learn every day. We rise by lifting others. Thank you so much. Barcelona beat Valencia back to nothing in the Spanish La Liga. And Real Betis ensure Real Madrid were not at ease. The game ended 0-0 after 19 minutes. So Barca extended
Unagi.
The
Liga.
Waiting be this.
Unagi, drop mic.
Waiting be this. Now,
waiting be this.
Yeah, thank you. AS Roma beat Juventus by a goal to nothing. Jose Moreno's team doing well. And Inter Milan were 2-0 better than Lecce. That's it. Just a few of those results from the big leagues on the European continent to share with you. We have to get ready to leave here. Mr. Ma is going to be here by 9 for stoppage time.
Go push us.
So let us get ready to push ourselves before he does.